Please take out your Bible and turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'd like to talk with you about the heart. And in particular, I'd like to answer a question that has been asked about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. The question was asked recently, please explain how the hardening of Pharaoh's heart by the Lord in Exodus chapters 4 through 14 did not take away the free will of God that was granted to man. And I'd like to address that, and I've asked you to turn to James chapter 1, and we're going to talk about choice. We're going to talk about choice. You know, there are a lot of people who teach a false doctrine and use scriptures such as what we find in the book of Exodus to try to prove their false doctrine that God can and does control the hearts of individuals. So that Pharaoh, in this case, did not have a choice but to do evil things. Now think about that. That's a false doctrine on many levels. What it does, really, is to make God the author of evil. It causes God to be responsible for having done the wrong thing. God does not do that. God does not do that. In fact, if and when we sin, and this is just as true of Pharaoh, it's because we choose to sin. I've asked you to turn to James chapter 1. Notice with me, beginning in verse 13, the inspired prophet said, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." God gives good. God does not tempt with evil. Now, the question asked about Pharaoh's heart is a good question. It's worthy of an answer. We need to make sure, though, that we look at this from what God has to say about it, from the historical record. Because if we get into the business of trying to just suppose or say, "Well, I feel this or I feel that," well, we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. And so we want to go to God's Word and think about what's said in the Word of God. And so I ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 21. And I want you to know that the Scriptures do tell us that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 21. This is just one of several statements made concerning this subject. This is one example. Exodus chapter 4, verse 21. "The Lord said to Moses, 'When you go back to Egypt, see that you do all the wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go.'" And so that's just one of several statements made in which it is said that God has said, "I will harden his heart." But I want you to also consider this, that in Exodus chapter 8, just a few pages over, we are told that Pharaoh hardened his heart. This is in 8, verse 15. "When Pharaoh saw that there was relief," and we'll talk about the context of that in a little bit, "he," that is Pharaoh, "hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said." Now, how should we think about that? Did Pharaoh have any choice in the matter? Did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Yes. Did Pharaoh harden his heart? Yes. Is the man responsible for his own sin, or is God to blame? I believe the man is to blame for his own choices. And that is the case for every single individual who lives upon this earth. And so let's think about how we should approach the Scriptures with this question. How did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Now, some of these things we're going to talk about, we will talk about briefly because they are basics that we have covered in recent lessons. The Scriptures, for example. I believe they provide us with sufficient evidence to know with certainty that they are inspired of God, God-breathed, and given to us without contradiction that is valid, that they are exactly what we need for life and for godliness. And more specifically, I do not believe there's any contradiction in the texts that we have just read, in which it said God hardened Pharaoh's heart and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And so, in order to find the answer, we have to go to the Word. And we have to consider what God has said about this and find a reasonable explanation to reconcile what may seem like two words that are contradictory. So let's understand that the Bible is inspired of God, and it teaches us the truth. Further, the Bible teaches us that God created all of mankind, every one of us. And furthermore, that He created every one of us with free will, with the capacity to choose whether we will or will not do this or that. And further about that subject, God does not, has not, or will not violate your free will or anyone else's free will to choose for themselves whether they will or won't obey God. So again, did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Yes. Did Pharaoh harden his heart? Yes. So how did God harden Pharaoh's heart? That's the question we want to answer. First, let's think about this. What does it mean to harden the heart? Well, the word heart is used in the scripture to not talk about the blood pump within our chests, but to talk about the mind and the understanding of a person. And so what we are going to find, and what we do find when we read through the Word of God, is that when a person's heart is hardened toward God, they resist God, and they resist whatever instruction He gives. They resist His promptings, His urgings, His encouragements. And they choose to go another way. Hardness of heart is seen throughout the scriptures as being equivalent to unbelief and disobedience. And it never brings blessings. And it never brings good things to the person who's hardened, nor to those around them. Anyone who has a hardened heart chooses not to believe or obey the Holy God of heaven. Now, there's a warning in all of this for us. So as we answer the question, how did God harden Pharaoh's heart, let's consider, as we do, our own choices and the fact that the choices we are making this very moment as to whether we will listen to God's word or not, whether we will let our minds wander, or whether we will respond to the gospel call, that's our choice. And we can choose to harden our hearts to God, or we can choose to soften our hearts to God and respond to Him in obedience. So let's think about, how did Pharaoh's mind get to the point that he chose to ignore God? And further, that he actively refused God. We know God had a part to play in it, but let's also understand this. Moses and Aaron had a part to play as well. They are the spokesmen of God in this circumstance, in that court. But let's also consider that the magicians who were there also played a part in the hardening of Pharaoh's heart up to and at that point. But we'll also consider that Pharaoh himself had the biggest part to play in all of this. And we want to do that from a biblical perspective. So what did each of these do that resulted in Pharaoh's hardened heart? Let's think about what God did do to harden Pharaoh's heart. The Lord God demanded, and it first came as request, but is still yet a command, to let the Hebrews leave Egypt for 3 days and to go out into the wilderness and to worship Jehovah God. And He did that through Moses and Aaron as His spokesman. Now, from an ungodly, earthly perspective, you can see where the difficulty came in Pharaoh's thinking. Here he is as supreme king over this nation. And it doesn't make sense if you are ungodly and you are carnal in your thinking to let go of your workforce who are slaves to leave the country for a period of time. You say, that doesn't make sense. Why would he do that? And the point is, he chose not to. Pharaoh refused the request that's offered. And essentially what he's doing is saying, who are you to tell me what to do? Now, of course, as is always the case, when someone refuses the prophet of God, they are ultimately refusing God himself. That is perhaps most plainly said by God to Samuel, when Samuel said, they've rejected me. And he said, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me. That's what this man is choosing to do. Now, what did God do then? Well, let's look at the text in Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 10 beginning in Exodus chapter 7. Because what the Lord does here is to have Moses and Aaron work several miracles. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 10 beginning, so Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded. So here are two individuals, by the way, who are choosing to listen to what God has to say. Their hearts have been softened to God so that they obey the word of God. They did just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and he became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. These miracles that are worked by Moses and Aaron, you know, remember that Moses is truly God's spokesman, but because of his feelings of insufficiency at some point, he allows Aaron to come and speak on behalf of Moses, who is speaking on behalf of God. But essentially, these miracles are worked to demonstrate that these two men represent the living God of heaven. Look at verse 13. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. And so, there you have it. Miracles are performed. It seems that the magicians, the wise men, the sorcerers of Egypt have done a miracle likewise. And of course, God still demonstrates superiority by having Aaron's serpent, which was rod, eat up the magicians. But Pharaoh, in verse 13, hardened his heart. He didn't pay attention to the request of these men who are demonstrated to be God's spokesman. He did not let the people go. And so then God, as per his plan, set out to defeat the various false gods of the Egyptian religion. One by one, he knocked them down in an effort to change Pharaoh's mind and to bring his people out of the land. And so he sent the plague water to blood. And he sent frogs. And of course, I'm simplifying a lot of this so for the sake of our time. But I should mention that during those first two plagues that were sent, each time that Moses and Aaron performed these miracles, these wonders which are intended to turn Pharaoh's heart soft, Pharaoh's magicians mimicked the wonder. And I believe it was in a non-miraculous way. But it's on this third time, the lice that came upon the land and that afflicted everyone, the Egyptians, it's upon that time that the magicians failed to do a miracle likewise. They just couldn't do it. In fact, Pharaoh's wise men, if you look in chapter 8 in verse 19, Pharaoh's wise men, these magicians, these sorcerers who had a part to play in all this, they said something important. Verse 19 of chapter 8, the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But what did Pharaoh do? But Pharaoh's heart grew hard. He did not heed them. He chose not to listen to those who had said, this is the finger of God. And so you then have the plague of the lice, the plague of the flies, the dead cattle, the boils on all the Egyptians, the thunderstorm of hail and of fire, the locusts and the darkness across the land for 3 days. Each of these all destroying, defeating, undermining the false gods of these Egyptian people. And you know, with each one of them, they didn't just go by as quickly as I've mentioned them. They lasted for a period of time, such that Pharaoh and all of Egypt recognized that this is horrible. This is a great trouble. We're being afflicted by these difficulties, by these plagues. So much so that Pharaoh would ask for help. Ask. And this requires some humility, even if it is simply as a result of the pressures put upon him. But he asked for help, for relief from these troubles. Take away the plague. And each time, God took away the difficulty, the trouble, the plague. And each and every time when God removed the plague, well, you know what happened? You read it in your daily Bible reading not too long ago. Pharaoh hardened his heart. You see, his heart, it seems, was softened by the difficulty in the pressure of the plague to some degree, such that he would ask for God to relieve the problem. But then, when it went away, he hardened his heart. So God made one more effort. And again, this is a part of God's plan. And he is, again, destroying the false gods of the Egyptians. And his effort is to persuade Pharaoh to do the right thing, to let the people go, and to accomplish their deliverance. In Exodus chapter 11, go to Exodus chapter 11. Verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. And when he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. And go down to verse 4. Then Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. You'll remember from your previous studies of the Egyptian culture and Egyptian religion and biblical studies that Pharaoh himself was considered by himself and by his people to be God. And yet God strikes at that very idea by taking the life of the firstborn of all in Egypt. And of course there are conditions set upon all of this by God, and it's expressed by Moses and Aaron to the people that if they put the blood of a lamb and there are certain requirements of that on the doorpost of their homes, then the angel of death would pass over those homes, and certainly there are lessons to learn from that. But our point here is this. It was a death blow to the deity of Pharaoh. He could not truly claim to be deity any longer. And yet, when that last and terrible plague was performed, well, Pharaoh did initially decide to let them go. He drove them out, just like God said he would. And yet, even after that, what did he do? He hardened his heart again, and he sent his army to stop the departing Israelites. Now, what did God do to harden his heart? What did we refer to and what did we read from the Word? God commanded that he do something, and then he punished him 10 times for his disobedience. That's all God did. God gave him his word, gave him instruction, and then when the man refused, he disciplined him. Let's hold on to that. Think about that. Let's also think briefly about what did the magicians do to harden Pharaoh's heart, because they were involved in events that led up to and at this point. The magicians of Egypt, I should say, played an important part in that hardening of heart. We don't see them until Moses and Aaron come on the scene in Pharaoh's court. But they've been there all along. They've been serving this Pharaoh. And they've been building up his ego. They've been doing his bidding to support him and to support his cause and to remind him that he is God on earth. And that's a false god. But that's the kind of thing they did. And with each initial wonder that was worked by Moses and Aaron, we saw that they somehow mimicked or imitated those first few miracles. Now, up to that point, you could understand that when Moses and Aaron worked a miracle and the magicians worked a similar miracle, or so it seemed, that the man would say, well, who are you? You're nothing more than these sorcerers of mine, these wise men of mine. I'm not going to listen to you, nor to your God that you bring in here. He could excuse these men as tricksters. Now, some speculate that these magicians were working on behalf of and doing actual miracles with the power of Satan. Now, they were working on behalf of Satan, but I don't find any reason to believe they were doing anything miraculous by the power of Satan. For one thing, they couldn't perform all the wonders. The limits of their ability to work their magic, their sleight of hand, their trickery, had an end. But I do know this. When God brought that third plague, the magicians couldn't do anything but tell the truth. We can't do this. And furthermore, what did they say? Verse 19 of chapter 8, this is the finger of God. This isn't something we can do. And this is nothing we can stand against. And you see there? But Pharaoh's heart grew hard. And he did not heed them. Now, it's good that the magicians finally came to a point in which they admitted the truth about this anyway. But the damage has already been done. They had been feeding this man's ego for so long and doing his bidding and acting on his behalf and on the behalf of these false gods for so long that he trusted them. And that just reinforced the man's own idea that he doesn't have to listen to anyone. That he certainly doesn't have to listen to some god of the Hebrews who are his slaves. And so you see, they deified Pharaoh. They had a part to play in his deification. And while Pharaoh certainly was personally responsible for his decisions, they played a part in all of this. They were responsible for their choices, and those choices led to results in the man's thinking. Now, generally speaking, anyone who influences, persuades, or encourages another person or a group of people to disbelieve and disobey God is involved in the hardening of hearts. We have to be very careful with whom we listen to and associate with and accept instruction and example from. Because we may very well be recipients of that which builds us up in our ego, in our pride, in our whatever you want to call it, the hardening of our hearts to obedience and acceptance of God. And while we each bear responsibility for our own decisions, false teachers and evil influences do bear blame. And you see, we don't want to be a part of any of that. We don't want to be someone who influences another to harden their heart, and we don't want to be someone who has a hardened heart. Because it always ends badly for those who teach it and those who accept it. So we've talked briefly about what did God do. He gave instruction, and he disciplined the man when he disobeyed. The magicians, they fed the ego of this man. They deified him in his own mind and in the eyes of the people. And then there's Pharaoh. Let's not forget what we've already seen and is plainly recorded for us and is said time and time again. Verse 15, when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them. And that phrasing, or something equivalent to it, is found after each of these plagues. Well, the man was under these plagues and dealing with a people who were facing these difficulties. His heart, it seems, was softened to some degree. But then when God removed the plague, he hardened it. Now, Pharaoh, in this respect, was like any other man. He had a free will. He's a created being in the image of God. He has a soul within, and he has the capacity to reason and to think and decide for himself whether he will or will not listen to, seek, and obey the God of heaven. But you know, in his role as Pharaoh, he is unlike ordinary men. He was Pharaoh. And he had developed and been fed by pride, power, and reputation in the world. Now, it's thought by most historians that the Pharaoh who spoke and who dealt with these Israelites at this time was Ramses, considered to be one of the greatest pharaohs that Egypt ever knew. He was thought to be the most powerful ruler, certainly in the region. And so as Pharaoh, you can imagine no one told him what to do. Well, certainly not the Egyptians. Certainly not his servants. Certainly not the wise men that he surrounded himself with. Not until Moses and Aaron came along, speaking on behalf of God, was there anybody who opposed him and survived. So you think he's going to listen to some Hebrews, who, by the way, he has serving as slaves in his land? Now, is that an excuse? No. But you can see where the man's thinking is. He's been cultivating a heart of carnality and of worldliness. And so you can see why it would be so hard for him to accept the truth. And why it would be that when things are easy, he hardened his heart against God. He didn't know anything about Jehovah God. In Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, as Moses and his spokesman Aaron are there before Pharaoh, and they have made the initial request to let God's people go into the wilderness for a time, Pharaoh said in verse 2, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." From a carnal perspective, we can understand that. But it's all wrong. From his limited, prideful perspective, Pharaoh did not want to submit himself to God, even if and even as God showed himself to be superior in every way. And every decision that was made by Pharaoh was his. And in the end, he has no one to blame but himself for having that hardened heart. He stood up to God. And he lost. And that's the way it's always going to be. Not only for Pharaoh, but for anyone else who chooses to harden their heart and stand against the God of heaven. You cannot put yourself before God and survive. Now, from looking at the inspired history, even as briefly as we've done this morning, we know that God didn't make this man disobey him. And that's especially true when you consider the rest of scriptures that demonstrate God working with the free will of man and allowing each and every one to make their own decisions, choosing for themselves whether they will or won't. God didn't exert any sort of miraculous unseen power on the man's heart so that he could not obey, so that he could not submit. God gave him instructions. And Pharaoh chose to ignore them. Now, this happens today, doesn't it? God gives us instructions. He gives this world instructions through his Son and through the Word that's recorded for us by his Holy Spirit. And yet, we have a choice to make, and many sadly choose to ignore the instruction. Now, maybe when times are difficult, when there's a plague on us, We submit ourselves for a little while and say, Lord, help me be free from this difficulty. I submit myself to you. Just let it make it go away. But then, when things are easy again, when things go back to what we think of as normal, what will we do? Many will harden their hearts and go back into and involve themselves in sin once again. Now God demonstrates his superiority and his authority through the miracles, signs, and wonders that were performed in the presence of Pharaoh and of all Egypt. Those were the things that seemed to have touched his heart, softened his heart, giving him an opportunity to soften and submit. But once God removed the trouble, he would again harden the heart. And again, that happens today too, doesn't it? So let's think about ourselves for just a little while. I want to make some more applications from this text about the hardening of hearts in another lesson. But let's think about this for a moment. Many, like Pharaoh, will only turn to God in times of trouble. Let me tell you, on this side of eternity, if we are in our sin, we're in trouble. There's a real danger of our being lost eternally. It may seem like it's unseen and unknown, but it's really there. And the Word of God informs us of that. And those of us who proclaim and who live the Word of God say that. But you've got to realize it. And you've got to submit yourself, soften your heart to the Word of God. Accept, acknowledge, and obey the Word of God for yourself. You know, the song we're about to sing, I gave my life for thee. Jesus gave his life by choice. And he asks us to do the same. He's not going to take your heart or your life from you. He gives you the opportunity to obey. And you know, the gospel, it's a call to obedience, to belief and obedience. The Apostle Paul has said, truly, these times of ignorance, speaking of the past, God has overlooked, but now commands men everywhere to repent. And that's what he's calling upon you to do, to turn your direction and life around from sin and from self and that destruction that's coming upon you because of your sin, and turn back to God in obedience. And you do that through obeying the gospel. That is, you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God with all of your heart. You're willing to make that good confession before this good audience today. But also that you're willing to submit yourself to baptism, immersion into Christ, into water, for the forgiveness of your sins. And that you be faithful. That you be a faithful child of God. Not just existing in Christ, but living in Christ, walking in Christ, serving Christ. For our Lord has said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. So the question for us is, will we do that? Will we obey him? Soften your heart. And keep that heart soft and malleable for the Lord, and do not harden it, like Pharaoh did. If we can assist you this morning in making your life right, we encourage you to come to the front while we stand and while we sing the song that's been selected.